Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
But I just want to thank you so much that you're a God who doesn't leave us, that you're a God who stays close always, that you're a God who is completely and utterly in love with us, who has promised to be with us wherever we go. And God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we are here today together. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are in this place with us. I thank you for the time of celebration. God, may you be glorified in this place today. May you have your way in this place, because you are worthy. You are so worthy. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Have a seat. For those who don't know me, my name's Avril. I am on staff here at Kingsway. You often don't see me in this building, in this room, I should say. I'm often in other rooms in our church working with our children. And I have to say, I did the lap of the church just before I came in here with you guys today. And we are exploding. Can I just say there is a whole bunch going on in our church that you don't see in this room. There is so much going on. Our radiate room is chockers up there today. I love it. I walk in there and my first response is, and my second response is, yes, it's full. We're good. It's exciting. I was at youth on Friday night. And I just wanted to share what's going on with our youth at the moment, because it is phenomenal. I was driving home from youth and I was just so happy, because God is up to something amazing. Amazing. I was leading our youth in a time of just reflection, and Greg, can't see you, there he's right at the front. Greg visited us on Friday night, and Greg and I were kind of working off each other a little bit to facilitate a God space. And Greg spoke phenomenally, by the way. Just honestly, you were amazing. And I just really want to honour Greg, because we don't often hear your voice in this space. But when you speak, honestly, when you speak, it is dripping with wisdom. You have so much to pass on to other people. Like, just, I knew it would be good, but you just surpassed all my expectations, and amazing. So Greg and I were working together to kind of facilitate this space, and one of the youth, we were talking about friends, weren't we, and bringing our friends to church. And one of the girls just started crying. This is really vulnerable. And she turned around and she went, oh, I belong here. She started naming people by name and just encouraging them. And I was sitting there going, oh, that's so beautiful. And then we had a time of prayer afterwards, and a little guy was kind of in the corner and he was emotional, and I could see that. So I went over, I said, listen, mate, can I just pray with you? It's really great that you're here. He's been coming along often. His family's not connected here. He's just a Friday night youth kid. And he said to me, I said, what can I be praying for you? Why are you sad? What's the emotion about today? And he said to me, oh, I'm missing out. I said, bud, what are you missing out on? He said, I'm missing out on being with everyone on Sunday. He said, you're my second family. I just want to be here with you. And I thought, oh, God is doing good, good things. We have this beautiful young people, this core of young people in our church that I'm so excited about. So excited about. And you don't, we don't see it. We don't see it when we sit here together, but it is happening. And I am pumped. And our rooms are bursting with kids who are about to move into that space. Bring it on, hey? It's so, so, so exciting. So exciting. For those who don't know me, I am a educator by profession. And I am passionate about children and passionate about kids coming to know Jesus. I love my job, and I'm not just saying that because my boss is here today. I really do love my job. But my passion is young people. And at the moment in my classroom, I have five class rules. I have a fourth grade class. I have five class rules. And we have a bit of a three-step warning system. Does anyone work with kids? You do the, okay, you get warning one, then you break the rules again, you get warning two, and then you break the rules again and warning three, and then there's got to be some form of consequence, doesn't there? One of my rules is we obey straight away in my classroom, and I have to say, I walk through those three steps all the time. Is it so hard to just do as you're told? And the moment the epidemic sweeping my classroom has to do with this thing right here, and I do believe that it has been happening in classrooms forever, it is the swinging on your chair. Does anyone remember doing that as a student? Yep. Has anyone ever seen someone have like a massive stack because it's happened? Yeah? Yep, Nicole's classroom teacher, yeah? See, as a teacher, I look at that and I go, okay, that's not okay because you're either going to damage furniture or you're going to damage yourself. So I walk in and I see that happening and I go, listen, this is your first warning. Warning one, and here we obey straight away. Warning one, you're going to stop that now. But for some reason, it's like an extreme sport and they just can't stop it. So I don't know what it is. It's not a conscious decision. I think they're just going for it. And okay, so we didn't obey straight away. Our next step is, okay, we're going to have to, warning two, come on, that's not okay. And in my classroom, I've got these three step chart and you've got name on the board. Come on, guys. Like, seriously, this is it. One more warning. And it's like you miss in play because we obey straight away and you are not doing as you're told. But the daredevils, the ones who really want to see Monster Monday come out, start doing it again. And I, yeah, you all think I'm really lovely and sweet. But I tell you what, you've had three warnings. We've spoken about this. Our class rules are on the wall. We talk about them every morning. What is going on? You've had your three warnings. We've gone through the whole process. And you're still not paying attention. There is something not quite right about this. Now, the last few weeks at church, we've been spending time in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which was radical. It was absolutely radical what Jesus was saying. There had been an old system in place for such a long time. God's laws had been followed to a T. It was surrounded by tradition. There was black, there was white, there was yes, there was no. There was a complete structure in place, and in walks Jesus and goes, let me tell you something different. Let me tell you something new. And we've spent the last few weeks talking about that and thinking that through, and we've looked at what it means to live a life like Jesus is calling us to live, to love like he wants us to love, to think like he wants us to think, to walk like he wants us to walk. It was different. And all these people had been listening and listening and watching and watching. You know, some theologians think that the Sermon on the Mount may not have been said all at one go. It could have been told a little bit at a time. But the writer of Matthew went, this is good stuff, I'm going to put it together. That's one thought, which I get kind of excited about that, because what that means is people weren't just hearing the lesson, they were actually watching it in practice as well. Because Jesus was living it out the way he wanted the listeners to. And then we come to today. And today we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 7, verse 13-23. And are you ready? Are you sure? Starts like this. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. I'm going to stop there for a second. The people listening to Jesus at this particular moment understood that a narrow gate was only wide enough for one person to walk through. It was not a group exercise. Just remember that. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Choose. Interesting. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. And then it goes on, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And we go on. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who broke God's laws. And everyone needs to take a big breath. See, it was a new way. Jesus had just shared a new way. New way of thinking, living, loving, moving. And at this point, he goes, listen, the choice is yours. You can make your decision about this. But it's going to have consequences. And the consequences aren't lovely. Like, this is big stuff. This is really big stuff. See, beliefs were no longer enough. Couldn't just believe what God was saying. You couldn't just go through the motions as they had been for so long. Belief wasn't enough anymore. He said, it's time to act. It's time to choose. It's time to be really deliberate about this. You've heard it. But you've got to step into it. That was a different way of thinking. See, the Israelite people were used to including others in their religious practices. They had people around them. They would go to the temple. There were people in place to help them worship God. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying there is a narrow path here. You can't rely on other people. There's no hiding in this crowd. When you walk down this narrow path, it's just you. You can't depend on other people. You can't hide. You can't phone it in. You can't say, that's good enough. You are just in front of me. Then later on, he says, listen, you can come to me when that judgment day, you'll come to me and I might say, I don't know you. He wasn't calling us into ticking boxes. He was calling us into relationship with him. Very, very different. Very personal. Very deliberate. Very active. Very, very active. He was extending an invitation to participate. And the great thing about that is that that invitation is still out there today. And it's still a deliberate choice today. And there is still no hiding. He wants you in relationship with him. And he wants you to step into acting out your faith. The time for listening is done. The time for simply believing is over. Stand, step in, speak up, and live your faith out loud. See, what he was doing is he was saying to them, you used to do your religious practices out of a sense of duty and tradition. It's not that way anymore. In relationship with me, we stand in our faith and we step into our faith out of heartfelt gratitude for Jesus and a deep love for him. There's a different motivation. A new motivation. So does he know you? Are you hiding? Are you phoning it in? I was at the library, school library, on during the week, and I found a book that really just spoke very deeply to me, and I really wanted to share it with you. Can I get the cover? I think is up there. It's this book right here. You too can borrow this from your local children's library, everybody. It's called The Abominable Snowman. Doesn't he look terrifying? For those playing at home listening to the podcast, it's this horrible looking monster with red eyes and big scary claws and teeth, and it's just, as a child, I would never have picked it up. But I do know that kids love books like this, and I do know that there are probably people sitting in the room right now who have read a book like this at some point in their life. It is a choose your own adventure novel. Yes, are we familiar with these? Yep. This one promises 27 possible endings, everybody. What a classic we've got here. It's all about Carlos, who gets lost in the mountains and finds a Yeti, and it's all very, very exciting. But I don't kid when I say it actually spoke really deeply to me, which is, I know, a bit strange, but I'll get the next slide, and it says this. Let me read it to you. Beware and warning. That's kind of fitting when we're talking about a topic like this, isn't it? Beware and warning. This book is different from other books. You and you alone are in charge of what happens in this story. Let's think about that for a second. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must use all of your numerous talents and much of your enormous intelligence. Ah, thank you very much. The wrong decision could end in disaster, even death. But, I like that word. But, don't despair. At any time, you can go back and make another choice. Alter the path of your story and change its result. I told you it spoke deeply to me. In Deuteronomy, it says it like this. It says, today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. See, it's not about just choosing a narrow road. It is about choosing life. So that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him. It's kind of important. And committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. It's big. Now, if we go back to that idea of the narrow road and the wide road, often in the narrow road, when we're talking about the narrow road, it's called different things. Different times in the Bible. Like if let's pretend for a second this is my narrow road. Like it's often called a path. In the Old Testament, it's quite often referred to as a path in books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Psalms. And it's even in Hebrews, they don't call it a road or a path. They actually call it a racetrack. But it's got that same kind of idea, doesn't it? That we're moving down something and we're moving through something. So we've got this idea here. Jesus himself calls himself the way. Jesus himself calls himself the gate. So when we choose Jesus, if we're going to choose that narrow road, that path, that racetrack, we're choosing him, we're choosing life. It's something to get really excited about. However, Jesus at this point is saying it's going to be hard. This isn't going to be a super easy choice all the time. It is going to be difficult. It's going to be really difficult. On the other side, you've got over here another path that's quite wide and quite easy and everyone else is doing it. So why don't we follow this path? But Jesus is saying, warning, three warnings. It's not going to lead you to life. It's actually going to lead you the opposite. You're going to end up in a place you're never going to ever want to be. You're going to end up away from me. You're going to end up in a conversation where you say, I don't know who you are. It doesn't break your heart. But there's a third choice. And it looks like this. See, you can be presented with the two choices and still choose not to move. To think to yourself, tomorrow. Not sure. The thing is, people who sit in this space without even really realizing it, they're heading down here. See, Jesus is saying, it's all of me or it's none of me. You're all in. You choose the way of life. You step out and you go for it or you don't do it at all. I think we can fool ourselves into thinking that this is a safe place. It is not. I want to talk to you about Peter. I've had him on my mind a lot this week. So we know Peter was a disciple that followed Jesus. He's often considered to be almost the leader of the disciples. Yeah? And I loved his moment of conversion. So as it says in Luke, what was happening is Peter was with his mates in the boat doing some fishing. He was just going about his daily life. Now, here comes Jesus, one of the most famous people at the time, and there's this massive crowd around him, and it's like if there were cameras, they would have been called paparazzi. Like, he was the dude, and here he comes to the beach, and they are sitting in a boat, and it all is all just playing out in front of him. And Jesus actually says to him, "Can I preach, can I teach from your boat?" So he gets in the boat with Peter, who hasn't heard from him before. So there's an immediate relationship. And they head out into the water, and from the boat, Jesus teaches the crowd. But Peter's sitting in the boat with him. How cool is that? And after everyone goes home, Jesus actually turns to Peter and says, "Peter, why don't you head out into the water, go a bit deeper and put your nets down." Now, Jesus wasn't a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus had just been chatting to people for a few hours. Peter had been out on the water for way longer than that, doing his job. But the Bible says that Peter obeyed him. What was it about what he'd heard and seen of Jesus that made him obey a stranger? So he did. He obeyed him. He took his boat out further. He let down his nets. And the catch was so great that Peter had to call his mates to come and help him. And so there were two boats out there collecting all the fish that were caught. And the boats were full of fish. And Peter's response was to drop to his knees and to call him Lord. See, he was at a crossroads. He had a point of going, which way do I go? He had a moment with Jesus and it made him, it pushed him in the direction that he needed to go. And they brought the boats back into shore. And the first thing that Peter did was left it all behind and followed him. He couldn't ignore what he'd seen and heard. He couldn't ignore what he'd experienced. There was life in who Jesus was. There was life in what he was saying, and Peter just wanted to be part of it. He was moved. Heartfelt gratitude and deep love made him leave everything behind to follow where Jesus was calling him. At the same time, which I find fascinating, in John it explains this moment that they had about the same time where Jesus actually said to him, "I know your name's Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter." So it's like giving him a nickname. Now, I give kids nicknames all the time, right? I'm usually pretty good at remembering them. So when they hang out with me, they know that I'm going to call them a certain name. Yeah? Most of you call Jesse D, by the way, because I started it. I'm just claiming that one. And Jesus says to Peter, "This is your nickname. I'm going to call you Peter from now on." It means rock. So what Jesus was saying to him is, okay, you've started down here. I have a purpose and a plan waiting for you on this road. It's going to involve you being like a rock to other people. The problem was his real name was Simon. Now, interesting, Jesus actually still calls Peter Simon. Do you know this? It's when Simon starts walking down this road. When he takes things into his own hands, when he ignores what Jesus is saying, Jesus actually calls him Simon. There are two paths in front of every one of us. and we walk through the narrow gate, we are accepting salvation. We're saying, it's Jesus, it's you and it's me. I've heard what you've said. My belief is being turned into action and I'm walking it. But there are going to come a time, there are going to come times and moments where in a particular moment, a particular decision, a particular relationship, a particular day, just like Peter, you make a bad choice and you start walking down this one. You see, Peter had been hanging out with Jesus and he knew that we should turn the other cheek. But what does he do? He picks up a sword and cuts someone's ear off. See, Peter had been hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus had said, focus on me. Come on, focus on me. But all of a sudden, Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink into the water. It happens over and over and over again. At no point does Jesus ever give up on Peter when he has to make a choice between whether he follows and walks the way Jesus has asked him to or whether he follows and walks out his own ideas and decisions. Praise God, it is the same for us. You see, it is a... we are called to practice our faith. It is not a passive faith. It is based on action. And in that final moment, Jesus looked at Peter before they went to the garden and he said, there's Peter blowing off his mouth going, you're the best and I'm the best and we're going to be friends forever and I'm never going to do anything to hurt you. And Jesus turns around and goes, listen, this is it. Before the sun rises, before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter, no way! This is never going to be me. That's not going to be what's going to happen to me. But we know that that's exactly what did happen in those moments where things got too difficult to follow. He went the wide and the easy road and he denied Jesus three times. Now, the great news is we find out in John a little bit later on that they ended up having breakfast on a beach. And here's good old Peter. This is the choice I made. This is the decision I've made. And guess what Jesus calls him? He says, Simon. Simon. Says, do you love me? Someone goes, oh, yes. I really do. I've made that decision for the narrow gate. Like, I love you. This is real for me. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Interesting. It was an action. Jesus was never going to be okay for Peter to turn around and go, yes, and then continue eating their fish on the beach. I was never going to be okay. He said, you believe me, you walk it out. And then we know it goes on and Jesus says, Simon. Simon, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Yes. Take care of my sheep. And then finally, bit further along, Jesus actually says, you've got to follow me. Can't be about listening anymore. It's got to be about action. We've heard what Jesus has said. The Sermon on the Mount has been a happening thing. We've been there. We've been going through it. But it's got to be about action. Now, I might need a hand. Greg, would you mind muscles popping that up on the table for me? Yes, the whole table up, please. What's the Bible story without an object lesson, everybody? Okay, beautiful. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, that actually means that we are actioning what he tells us to do. Yeah? Yes. So, let me put that down. I have here in my special box of tricks. A thing of seeds. Now, a seed is a remarkable thing. It's full of potential. These are tomato seeds. If I plant them, the fruit that's going to come of this is tomatoes, yeah? So, I could just hold on to this packet and say, I have all of the potential in the world to do wonderful things and grow great tomatoes. These tomatoes are going to be delicious. They're going to be the best tomatoes you've ever seen. I know that these tomatoes are going to be better than any others. I know that these tomatoes are going to win awards at the Royal Easter Show. These are going to be the most incredible tomatoes ever. But the thing is, in Matthew 7, it says that we will know people by their fruit. Now, the great thing about that verse is he was actually equipping us with the tools to look around and know who to trust in our environment. But I can't help reading that verse and going, what are people saying in me? Because if everyone's equipped to look around and assess people by the fruit that they display, you have the tools to examine my life. And I have the tools to examine your life. Now, the thing about holding so much potential is until I actually action something, it's not going to do anything. It's all talk. Yeah? So, then I get my pot. Did I put this down and everyone's looking at me? Oh, I probably should try and hold it for the podcasters. All right. I'm a multitasker, everyone. Here we go. Oh, thanks, Jen. That was Shazzy. All right. So, I've got here a whole lot of potting mix. Now, the thing I need to do is I need to actually put the dirt, put the potting mix in my pot. I need to open the packet of seeds. Ooh, two packets. Double the potential. And I need to actually carefully look after the soil a little bit, and I'm going to put my seeds in there, and I'm going to just cover it up with soil, pat it all down. Beautiful. I've planted my seeds. I've taken what I know to do, and I've actioned it. Now, the thing is, I've just planted them, so I'm really excited. Really excited, so I'm going to put a bit of water in. Okay. And the next day you might go, oh, that's right, seeds. I'm going to put a bit more water in it. And then the next day you forget. People ask me to house you for them. I'm really good. But I often forget to water plants. I'm really sorry. I forget. And then I go, oh, I forgot yesterday. Water again. Water it again. Just checking. Are we good? We good? Yep. Looking good. Looking good. Looking good. I'm making sure. I'm tending it. I'm giving it attention. I'm giving it a bit of focus. I'm giving it a bit of love. I'm just watching over it a little bit. But goodness, it's easy to forget. Get distracted. then eventually what happens is then we get just a little plant starts to appear. Wish I could say that I actually planted that, but as some of you might notice, I'm actually trying to prop it up. Just a little plant, and doesn't that give you a bit of excitement? Like, oh my goodness, all the focus, all the attention, all the activity I've been doing to make sure that my tomatoes is growing really beautiful and strong and lush, finally starting to pay off a little bit. And doesn't that give you a boost when you actually see some change and see some growth, and then you pick up your watering can, you're like, yes, look at that, I'm going to keep focusing. Until eventually, my third pot has come out. It does. I did think that when I bought it. Someone just said it looks a bit suspicious. It's not. It's a tomato plant, everybody. Until eventually, oh my goodness, look at what I'm seeing. Now, if I had about 5 or 6 more pots, we might actually begin to see some those delicious tomatoes I was talking about earlier. We actually might be able to see them come to fruition. But when Jesus said, you'll know someone by their fruit, you'll know someone by the activity that you see them do, the challenge in that for me is that if I'm walking on this narrow path, what am I doing to make sure this decision is being looked after and protected? It's going to take some deliberate thought, some deliberate action. There's that word again, action. It's about choice and it's about action. And it all rests with you. Can't hide. And who would want to hide from Jesus? I might get the band up again if that's all right. Today's been about some fairly serious ideas, turning belief into action. See, it's about a choice to choose Jesus, to choose salvation, to choose his way. And then it's about another choice. To choose again. And another choice. To choose again. And another choice. To choose again. The thing about walking a difficult road is that there's going to be a lot of obstacles in the way. And every one of those obstacles that you come across and you stumble over is another moment of choosing again. But what I can say to everybody is that we know a God who is constantly offering us a path back to him. Who is prepared to have a conversation with us and say, do you love me? Back you come. You made that decision, not a great one. Back you come. Need to choose again? Back you come. Oh, not great. Back you come. And we go over and we go over and praise God for his patience and his faithfulness. So I want to pray for us today. I want to ask God for two things. And and challenge you on two things. The first is, if you have never actually made that decision to stand at this path and to step through the narrow gate and go, Jesus took it all for me on the cross, so I want to give it all to him because of how much he loves me. If you're one of those people, I want to pray for you today. Because the time of sitting on a chair and just checking it out is over. It's time. The second type of people I want to pray for are the people who've been walking this path for a long time and just have a sense in their spirit or have an idea in their mind about a particular choice or a particular decision that might have happened, it might be coming, where it could be really tempting to end up over here. Because we're going to face them. So will you close your eyes? Let me pray for you. God, I want to thank you that we are not in this alone. Jesus, you didn't do anything that you didn't see your dad doing. And Jesus, you're not asking us to do anything that you didn't do first. You made a choice for us, Jesus, when it was the hardest choice imaginable. Because you care and you love more deeply than I can ever comprehend. So God, I just thank you. Jesus, help us to remember that it's you and it's me. Can't hide. I don't want to hide anymore. So Jesus, I just, for all those sitting in the room who are feeling like today's the day to get off the chair, God, I thank you for them. If that's you, I'm going to pray something and I want you to follow in your heart. Take it seriously. Remember, it's just you and him. It's about your relationship with him. God, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you that when you look at me, you don't see Simon, you see Peter. You see someone worth so much. And God, I'm sorry for all the times where I've chosen the wrong way. So God, I ask that you forgive me. Forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me for the sin that is so deeply rooted in me. Today, I'm going to choose you. I'm choosing the narrow path. It's you and me. I'm stepping through, and this is it. Thank you for your love for me. Let's do it together. God, today I also want to pray for the people who, like Peter, know exactly where they should be, but just, the stuff keeps happening. God, you know those circumstances and you know those situations and you know those people. God, I pray that you help us to stand firm. God, you have promised that you will stand with us, that we're not in this alone. And even when it gets really difficult to follow you, you are there. God, help us to choose you when it's hard. Help us to understand that we need to put into practice and live out loud and actually action the words of your sermon. We can't just sit and listen and believe anymore. We've actually got to step out and do it when it's tough. So God, I give you those situations and give you those people and give you those relationships and ask you to help us. Help us. And let me encourage you, everybody. It says in Philippians chapter 2, this is Paul. Paul saying. He says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you," and listen to this, everyone, "giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." Praise God. "Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life." God, we give you our lives. We trust you with them. And we ask for your help to step out and live out loud the sermon that you have delivered.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show his love, grace and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact he has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.